To be with you again. Carol and I have happy memories of being in fellowship with you nearly 12 months ago. It was, I think, the first Sunday in May last year, so it's not quite a year yet, but it's getting very near. And it's been a real joy to have this occasion to look forward to for a few weeks now, and thank you for the opportunity of sharing in fellowship and the opportunity to share God's word with you on this very special day in the church calendar, the day when we remember that Christ is risen. Now, with this in mind, I draw your attention for a few moments this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, Luke 24, and verse 6. The women folk have come to the tomb and they're somewhat perplexed by the absence of the risen Christ. But the mysterious messenger says to them, I'll start just before verse 6. He asks the question, why do you look for the living among the dead? Verse 6, he is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still alive with you in Galilee. And then verse 7 goes on to say what Jesus had said to the women folk before this day in Galilee. But it is particularly these words I want us to dwell upon this morning for a few moments. He has risen. Of course, this is the key note of this special day, isn't it? He has risen. Now, for some people, and time was in the young days of my Christian life, or perhaps if I could just amend that, the younger days of my life, I used to ask, and I'm sure many others used to ask the question, why do we make so much of Christ's resurrection? I used to think, and I'm sure many others too, well, there were other resurrections in Scripture, three that come immediately to my mind. Lazarus, of course, died, but by Jesus' ministry was raised back to life. There's that incident in the Acts of the Apostles when Paul the Apostle was rather long-winded and preaching on, and the young chap sat on in the window ledge quite high up, fell asleep, and he fell to the ground. Eutychus was his name, and he fell to the ground, the result, instant death. But Paul came down from where he was preaching and prayed over this young man, and he was raised to life. So there's another resurrection in the Scriptures. There's also that notable resurrection in under the ministry of Elijah. In 1 Kings, forgive me, is it 18, 19, somewhere there, where Elijah ministers to the widow woman and his needs are mysteriously met. The woman's needs are met. There's a great famine, but God provides, and he provided this woman who sacrificed her last bit of oil and flour for Elijah to have a meal. But God blessed her, but the blessing became even greater when the two went to the woman's house, and up in the upstairs, there was the woman's son who was sick, but when Elijah went up to him, he was dead. Elijah prayed over him. He was raised to life. So there's a third resurrection in Scripture. These are the three that come most readily to my mind, but no doubt you could bring to my mind others too that you're thinking about and perhaps I'm not. So we ask the question, or many people, I feel, ask the question, why do we make so much of the resurrection of Jesus more than we make of these other resurrections in Scripture? What is it that's so special that the Church of Christ celebrates this great event, which is the hub of our faith, each year on this special day? Well, I want us to investigate this morning, and I want us to see something of the reason why Jesus' resurrection is so gloriously special above the resurrections of others in the Scripture. The first thing I want to bring to your attention this morning is this. The resurrection of Jesus is so special, yes, because he was God's Son. That makes his death and resurrection, the two combined, very special. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose never to die again. Now, all these other people who were raised from the dead, of course, they still had to face the natural process of death. Their earthly lives had to come to an end by death. But Jesus' earthly life came to an end by a glorious, triumphant ascension into heaven. He rose never, I say again, never to die again. He rose to live eternally, seated at the right hand of God in the heavens, a glorious, triumphant Saviour, a Saviour who, though in heaven, is at one and the same time moving and having his being amongst his people upon the face of this earth. He rose to be an eternal Saviour, or if I can put it this way, a Saviour for time and eternity. Now, there's a great message there, I feel, for each one of us this morning. We all have things in life, good and wholesome things, maybe material possessions that give us a great deal of pleasure. And we thank God for these things. We don't despise them. They are God-given. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, God has given us all things richly to enjoy. But these things wear thin, they wear out. And that initial joy of owning them so often wears thin. And in time to come, they don't mean to us what they meant when they were grand spanking new. There's events too. What about holidays? How many times have we gone on a holiday? We've had a lovely holiday, and we come home and people say, have you had a nice time? And how many times have we heard it said something like this, a lovely time, but oh, it's passed all too quickly. Well, there's many other times and events in life, but I use these to illustrate the opposite to the Lord Jesus Christ. The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. They wear out. The events of this earthly life come to an end. But the Lord Jesus, the treasure we have in Christ, it's for time, it's for eternity. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman by Jacob's well in John 4, they that drink of this water, the earthly things of the well, they shall thirst again. But the water that I shall give him, he shall never thirst. But there shall be in him, welling up within him and from him, springs of living water. Why? Because Christ is risen. He's risen not for time, he's risen for time and eternity. And so we praise God this morning that in Christ we have an endless Saviour giving us endless delight, giving us the unspeakable joys of belonging to him. Praise be to God that this is the first reason why the resurrection of Jesus is so special. We cannot have eternal life through Lazarus or Eutychus or the widow woman's son, or anyone else who died and was raised again. No, they died, they rose, but then they still had to die. Not Jesus. He lives eternally. The second thing I bring to your attention this morning is this. Just as he rose never to die again, so he rose from the dead that he might indwell the hearts and the lives of his people here upon earth for the whole of time and eternity. Now, this is another very mind-blowing truth for this Easter Day morning. I often think of the apostles' words, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where the apostle says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless," he says, "I live. Yet not I, but Christ Jesus lives in me." Now that is because of the resurrection. This is the definition of a Christian. One who is beyond the realms of a merely good person. Yes, we thank God for good people. Of course we do. But in Christ, we have more than just a mere good person. We have a Christ-centered, a Christ-indwelling person whose heart and life and whole being and character is molded according to the image of the Lord Jesus. This could not be so if Christ was not risen from the dead, as certain foolish people try and persuade us. And Paul was faced with this problem too, with, yes, even the so-called Christians in Corinth, for goodness sake, who tried to argue that Christ was not risen. But Paul said, look, if this is true that Christ is not risen, then we are of all people most miserable. But that, thank God, is not the truth. The truth is Christ has risen, Christ lives within us. And this reminds us of the truth of that great gospel hymn, "I serve a risen Saviour, he's in the world today." And then the chorus, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. You see, sadly, to so many people, Easter and the resurrection of Jesus is nothing more than an event of history. Well, of course, it is that. They are right as far as they go. But the resurrection of Jesus is more than an event in history. The resurrection of Jesus is a present, everyday, perpetual, ongoing experience of heartfelt fellowship with Christ. Everything that Jesus meant to his followers after the resurrection, he means to every true believing Christian in all ages, all times, all over the world. Christianity is more than religion. The resurrection of Jesus lifts Christianity above the realms of mere formalistic religion. Of course, Christianity is a religion. The Bible says that. Of course it is. But it's more. The resurrection of Jesus to true believers is eternal life, as Christ Jesus lives forevermore. Fellow believers, we by the resurrection of Jesus have the assurance that in Christ we live for time and eternity. Have you that glorious assurance this morning, dear friends? Isn't this the glorious message of Easter? Jesus rose never to die again. Jesus rose to impart to every sincere believing Christian the life of himself within our hearts and our lives. Him who we cannot see, him who we cannot touch, him who we cannot hear audibly with our ears, him we feel in our hearts because he is risen. Him we hear with the ears of our hearts and our souls because he is risen. Thanks be to God for such a special Saviour. So, my friends, I present this to you as the second reason why the resurrection of Jesus is so special. No Christian can talk about Lazarus living in our hearts. No Christian can talk about Eutychus or the widow woman's son abiding in our hearts. They were mere mortals who were miraculously raised. I say it again, they still had to die. But Jesus, who lives forevermore, dwells in the humble, sincere, believing heart and life. And thirdly, this morning I want to say as a third reason why the resurrection of Jesus is so unique beyond and above all other resurrections in Scripture is because he is risen. He is the great conqueror of sin and darkness and death. He is. You see, the resurrection, it goes without saying, doesn't it, follows the crucifixion. The two go together. We cannot and we must not try to look at either one in isolation from the other. I have been asked in the past, not often, but from time to time, which is the most important, the resurrection or the crucifixion? And I believe I actually replied to that to one questioner by saying, well, you tell me, my motor car, which is the most important, the engine under the bonnet or the petrol in the tank at the back? There isn't an answer. The two are so bound up together. The crucifixion of Jesus wasn't defeat, it was victory. That moment in the history of mankind when the blessed Lord from the cross bowed his head and gave up the ghost, that was the moment in the history of humankind when Satan was sent scarpering. Conquered and his works brought to nothing. Now let's be careful. When Jesus died, he didn't destroy Satan. Destroyed his works, but he didn't destroy him. Satan is still alive. Satan is still active. And Satan is still wreaking havoc in this world of men and will do until Jesus comes again. No, Jesus didn't destroy him. Jesus conquered him. By his death on the cross and his glorious triumphant resurrection from the dead. Because he has conquered sin, Christians, too, are conquerors of all that is wrong and dark and evil in this life. Paul the Apostle said to the Romans chapter 8, didn't he? He said, we are more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Friends, because Christ is risen from the dead, because Christ died in the fashion that he did and rose from the dead, because of these things, there is not a temptation that the Christian cannot overcome.
Why? Because Jesus, in his resurrection, ascended life, ministering from the right hand of God into the hearts of his people, he is and always will be stronger than Satan or sin. Satan to Jesus must bow. Charles Wesley wrote that great hymn, Jesus, the name high over all, in hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils from that name fear and fly. Let's rejoice, friends, we are more than conquerors. John Wesley used to say in his sermons, in one or two sermons, he makes this comment. Yes, Christians sadly do sin. But the great truth is, Christians, because of the risen Christ, need not sin. The resurrection of Christ, dear friends, has left us, if we sin, has left us without excuse. Because Jesus is our conqueror. And he helps us, he causes us, he inspires us to conquer the strongest of temptations, the strongest of sins. The Lord Jesus is the one who in his resurrection life leads us, as the psalmist said in Psalm 23, leads us in the paths of righteousness. So, friends, that's the third reason why the resurrection of Jesus is so special. It's unique. It stands alone in importance. And so in Christ this morning, we have an eternal Savior. In Christ this morning, we have an indwelling Savior. In Christ this morning, we have a Savior who is the great victor and helps us to be the same. So thanks be to God. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, bless these truths to our hearts. We pray and be with us, we ask. Lord, we confess that so often we take our gaze from thee, and every time we do, we slip and we fall. But you are merciful. You pick us up, and oh God, we pray, help us to run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that we might live in all holiness and righteousness, the righteousness of Christ imparted to us. Amen.